Turn your Bibles, will, to Proverbs chapter 28 as we continue our study here in this book. We're coming down to the end of the book of Proverbs, and won't be long, we'll be through it. I hope it's maybe been a help and an encouragement each one of us. I know there's a lot of repetition in the book, but I didn't want to leave anything out, and we need that repetition, and sometimes things being said differently. Solomon speaking to his children, the Lord speaking to us as his children, our Heavenly Father speaking to us, what the Lord thinks about us living life. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Have you done anything wrong? Well, if you haven't done anything wrong, there's no reason to fear, is there? No reason to fear at all. Verse 2, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. I think that it tells about the state of our country. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. By a man of understanding and knowledge, the citizenry and the leadership. May we have, as a people, may the Lord restore unto us a knowledge of His truth. May the Lord turn our nation. Verse 3, a poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. And he knows where all the hideouts are and where every little morsel and good thing is. And when he gets through with oppression, he sweeps it up. And those that are oppressed by this one are indeed left destitute. Verse 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. Forsake the truth of the law. Remember, it is the Lord that establishes the law, the plummet line of truth, as the Scripture speaks about it in the Old Testament. And the Lord establishes that. They that forsake that are found to praise the wicked. It said, and the law is no good. They forsake the law, said it's not necessary. It doesn't apply to them. Have you ever run into anybody, or maybe it has been with you in your life and in times past, where you said, the law just doesn't apply to me. I'm going to do my own thing, my own way. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, and the Lord hates that. But such as keep the law contend with them. And so, obeyers and keepers of the law will stand and give a good answer about what is truth. And we need to do that ourselves. In verse 5, we pick up where we left off last time. Evil men understand not judgment. Okay, and we say, well, yeah, that's true. But they that seek the Lord understand all things. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. I want to remind you of a passage in Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, the necessity of life, shall be added unto you. Evil men understand not judgment. They don't understand what's just and right, but they that seek the Lord understandeth all things. The Lord, if we seek the kingdom of God, we seek the Lord's righteousness, He will give us help and understanding, won't He? Verse number 6 in Proverbs 28, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness. He has obedience, he has uprightness, maybe not the things of this world, but he's better, the Lord says, than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. You take a wealthy man that is perverse in his mouth and his way, it's just bad, isn't it? And the thing is I've known some men of means, of very much means, from the standpoint of their work and their pursuits. They were very much blessed, we would say. They had been blessed, and what they did was bountiful and multiplied. But then you would hear them speak. You would hear about the thoughts of their heart and their mind, and it was just terrible. A poor man that's walking uprightly is better, the Lord says, than that. Verse 7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. Oh, obedience. Obedience to what the rules are. What is right and just? Whoso keepeth law is a wise son. But he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. You know, we live in a day seemingly, and I guess it's always been because of mankind being here. But I praise the Lord for his touch upon my life. I was fearful to run with those that were riotous in my in my high school days and such as that. I would look on at them, and sometimes, admittedly, I would think that would maybe look like fun and be something that would be enjoyable. But the thing is that the Lord blessed me, and it wasn't a thing of what I did, but the Lord blessed me with a desire and a watch care to not shame my parents. And somehow may the Lord help us that we instill that into our children, and that we give them that. Because see, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. And may the Lord help us that we, our children, our grandchildren, that we instill in them that they don't live unto themselves, but they are connected, and that they would not shame their parents and their grandparents, their family. Go and be involved with things. Of course, my dad told me early on, and when I started driving and started getting up to being a man, he says, go to jail, you'll not see me there bailing you out. You know, and I knew he meant it. I knew that he meant it. And I'm thankful for that, because that kept me out of trouble. That helped me. Verse 8, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. And this is a subject, honestly, I've done a little bit of study about this, about usury or charging interest on money that you would have to another, that's part of business all the time and such. You know, Israel had that upon them, that they were not to charge usury or interest on a loan to their brethren. There were some things that were there tied in with the things of the inheritance of the land. It was not to depart from the different ones that got the different lands that they did, and all the tribes of Israel. It was to stay with them, and they could trade with it, and they could sell it for a time, and there would be provision there that they could take it and use it that way. But then at the year of Jubilee, it would all go back to whoever it belonged to. And the Lord did that for them. I'll be honest with you. You know, I've had loans, and there have been some cases that I have loaned and charged a little bit of interest with it. And this is a subject that I would like to look into and need to look into myself from the standpoint of how it applies to us. I don't think the Lord takes the position, because we're not Jews, okay? But we're not looking for an out either, okay? But we're not Jews, and so we don't have this situation about lending to our brethren of our own nation in that sense, the way it was with Israel. I think here, connected to this, is this unjust gain. Okay, a loan shark? God's against a loan shark. Okay, see, because that's just, it's out of the way. It's beyond what's appropriate. It's above and beyond even, if you will, what the market declares would be appropriate. The Lord understands that businesses need to make a profit. And the Lord has expectation that those that would run businesses make profit. It's part of the livelihood that a business owner would run. And so that it's not about, I don't believe it's about for us as Gentiles, I don't believe it's about the tool. And that's what it needs to be realized that it is, of borrowing money and the payment for that. You know, it's just if we would rent a tool at a rental place, there's expectation that one that owns it would collect some for us using it. And money is that way. I think the key here is this unjust that's there. And of course here, he that by usury and unjust gain could be just out and out thievery, couldn't it? Or extortion, or fraud, and things like that. One that increases his substance, not by hard work, and not by righteous pursuits. What's it say? He shall gather for him it for him that will pity the poor. Well, Brother Jim, I know of some that I think are in that way, and that hasn't happened. Well, I just know what the Lord says. He says, ultimately it will be. I think about the Lord will bring it to pass somehow. Maybe you and I might not see it. I think of the Winchester house. If you know anything about the Winchester house, the daughter, I think it was the daughter or the granddaughter of Mr. Winchester. And of course, Mr. Winchester was made a very wealthy man by the settling of the West and the Winchester repeating rifle that he invented and perfected and such as that. And his daughter or granddaughter that inherited all of that fortune and all the estate of that and everything, she was found to be very eccentric, and she had there at the Winchester house out in California, she thought that she could pay for all the people that were killed by Winchester repeating rifles by having someone in her house, in the Winchester house, working 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day, the hammer was going in the Winchester house. And it was, I'm not saying that Mr. Winchester got his by usury or unjust gain. I don't know. He did come up with a great invention. I think it was a fine invention. It's not guns that kill people. But don't you know all those fellas that worked for her were glad they had a job? You know? The Lord can bring things to pass, and I just wonder about that. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Verse 4 talked about one that would forsake the law. Though that they that forsake the law praise the wicked, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You know how it is in the Christian life, the child of God life? It's the way that it is, even, it's just a general principle at hand, but for sure, with the child of God, first things first. If we don't listen and obey and follow in the first things, will never be in shape to go on into what's next. You turn away from hearing what the Word of God says, so well, the law, the directive of God about living life doesn't apply to me. I need something higher. I need something better. Even his prayer shall be abomination. The Lord says, if you're faithful in the little things, then he'll bless with other things. And that's not just talking about stuff. But I believe, namely, and the greatest thing is insight and understanding and conviction about the Word of God. Be faithful in the little, the basic things, the front end things that are very, very plain, very, very easily understood. Be faithful in those things. And follow the Lord and obey the Lord, especially as his children, our prayer will be heard. What does James say? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why does the righteous man's prayer avail much? He's attending to the Lord. As we saw in recent scripture, I believe in the previous chapter, he's being faithful to his master, isn't he? And by hearing what the Lord says and obeying him in it. Turn our ears away from hearing what the Lord says in his word, and our prayer will not be heard. It may be found to be an abomination before the Lord. and think about the prayer. Understanding, you know, we don't. The Scripture doesn't bear out about our prayers are just repetitious words. Okay, we don't peep and beep. There's some religions that Eastern religions that they peep and beep and make sounds and such in their prayer. They do so. I don't know if they would consider that singing, or that, and maybe Hindus they'll hum and do different things with that. And so the doing of that and accomplishing of that before their supposed God gets them inroads with that God because they've done this thing. What is prayer? Prayer is petitioning God for a need, thanking God for what he's done. That's what prayer is. That's what biblical prayer is. How many times do we see that the Apostle Paul says, when he writes to a given church, he says, I'm praying for you about this. I'm praying for you about that. Our praise to the Lord, our thanksgiving to the Lord, our request to the Lord. The Lord Jesus told us here in this New Testament age and church age that we live in is to go to the Father in His name asking for that which we desire. And the Apostle Paul writes saying that we need to back that up with perpetual thanksgiving, right? Our prayers to the Lord are not just beeps and peeps and repeats of Hail Marys and those kind of things. But we speak to God. We speak to Him and make a request of Him and praise Him. And then we look to hear from Him through His Word and the leading of the Spirit and those that are saved. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Won't listen to what God says is the right way to live and to follow and to obey Him, but then goes in prayer asking for something else. The Lord, if He will, the Lord kind of looks at it and says, what? You want this when you won't obey in this? Okay? So we need to consider that. Verse 10. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. Those that would take the Lord's people, those that want to pursue and follow the Lord, obey the Lord, okay, the children of God, whoso causeth them to go astray, you know, we've read about the strange woman, we know and understand about that could be the strange man, the one that would go and entice, and the warning to the children is, don't go that way, don't look at that, don't be filled with that, don't give avenue an opportunity to be tempted with that, don't go there because there can be seducing. There's going to be perilous times in the last days, and evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, right? Worse and worse. And remember, Satan is an expert marketer of sin. And he's got 6,000 years of experience on us. And besides that of the power and the way that and ability and that was created, he's not like the Lord. But he is way more powerful than we are. And so that seducing is there. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. What happened to the garden? Was not God's son? Isn't that what the scripture says, that Adam is God's son? He created him, didn't he? He had fellowship with him. And I believe that there in the garden, after sin came in, that the Lord saved Adam and Eve. I believe that that's the case. But did Satan cause Adam and Eve to go astray? Adam can't lay the blame on Satan. He's responsible. But Jesus said, remember what Jesus said in the Gospels? He said that he's a liar. Satan is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He murdered mankind when he tempted and caused that thought, floated that thought of doubt to Adam. It was a lie. And he, in a sense, God holds him accountable for murder and killing man, because Adam did spiritually die that day, didn't he? And then it brought physical death on also, just like God said that it would. He shall fall himself into his own pit. Satan will do so, won't he? The lake of fire is prepared for him and his angels. He'll be brought down to the sides of the pit. And so it can be in this life too. The Lord looks out in those things. But the upright shall have good things in possession. We've got a future, don't we? Oh, what a future. And think about the things that are promised in the Scripture and the eternal hope that we have of seeing our Savior and being with Him forever and living forever. We've got good things in possession now, don't we? Mm-hmm. The Lord blesses in this life, and we possess that now. And one day we'll be brought to it and be brought to the Lord. But those that lead astray into evil will fall into their own pit. We read in the previous couple chapters ago in Proverbs 26:27, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone it will return upon him. We talked about that in work. You have to be careful when you work. We're talking about that, I think, Sunday when you get up on that ladder, that old rickety ladder. My dad had a wooden ladder of death. I think that thing's gone now. I'm glad. And that leg breaks, and then you're going down. And you say, uh-oh, Jerry had one of those experiences. You know, but the thing is that this also applies. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. It also speaks to that of in treachery. The Lord looks out for his own, and those that would pursue evil and wickedness against them, the Lord may be at hand. In verse 11, the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. See, wealth doesn't make the difference here, does it? No. The rich man can have a tendency to think like Nebuchadnezzar. He got warned of the Lord and Daniel. Daniel was sent to him and warned him about his iniquity and to look out that the Lord was going to deal with him. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar needed. And he laid low for about a year, didn't he? But then one day it rose up in him. He said, wait a minute. He said, I've built this kingdom. I've built this place. I've done all this. And the Lord out of heaven spoken to him and said, it's done to you, boy. And could Nebuchadnezzar fight it? Could he resist it? No, he was driven out. He was driven out like a wild animal, if I understand it right, for 7 years. And the Lord watched over him. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. You know, Daniel had privilege and blessing. But from the stand and in the Lord and Christ, he indeed had liberty, didn't he? But he didn't have his freedom, did he? But with the knowledge of God, he could tell Nebuchadnezzar exactly what was going on with him, couldn't he? Because of the wisdom and word of the Lord. Verse 12, when righteous men do rejoice, there's great glory. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. There's peace. There's blessing. There's comfort. I think about the verse that we read about when the righteous rule and when the wicked rule and the contrast between those two. When the righteous rule, there's peace and there's safety and there's comfort and ease. One that does justly and does righteously, those that are under their rulership don't have to fear about what they're going to do unless they get away from what's right and just in the law, right? But one that's wicked never know what's going to be, don't know how it's going to be. And so I see this verse in being parallel with it. When righteous men do rejoice, there's great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. People, this word hidden is talking about, I found this interesting, to conceal oneself or to mask or to change or to disguise. When the wicked rise, there's a hiding that may become necessary. Jesus said, when they persecute you in this city, get up and go to the next. You'll not go through all the cities in, what was the region that he said, Judea or Israel, maybe it was Israel, until the Son of Man comes back. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? Becomes a necessity when the wicked rule. There's a necessity to lay low. It's not contrary to our witness, but there is a dampening that's brought upon that which one would govern when they are wicked. There's not rejoicing, is there? But there's a gravity and you know, great concern. In verse number 13, this is a great verse. And you that are here not saved, listen to it. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And it applies to all of us. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. This verse describes repentance, doesn't it? True repentance. Trying to hide a sin, you know, it's folly for us to try to hide sin from God. God knows. And granted, we can hide things from one another. It's so. We can do that. We can't hide anything from God. Not a thing. Not even the thought of the heart and the mind can we hide from God. We can't do it. He knows. He knows. So many times in the Gospels, oftentimes it says that Jesus knew what they were contemplating in their heart. If he knew then, he surely knows now, doesn't he? For our time and our day. And so covering our sins, there's going to be no prosperity in that. The Lord knows. And the Lord says, repent. So you've heard me say, as I would implore those that are not saved to come to Christ, to repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord already knows. You're not hiding anything from Him. Confess and repent of your sins, that you are guilty. And that doesn't mean itemize them for the one that's without Christ, the one that's not saved. You can't itemize your sins because you don't know how all you've sinned against God. But the thing is that you see is that you're guilty. You're guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty, Lord. I'm guilty before you. Repent of your sins and trust in Christ. He that covereth his sins, there won't be any prosperity. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know, this is the case with the church. You know, we believe and see in the scriptures where there's a necessity. Unfortunately, it happens with men and women that there's a necessity sometimes for the church to put one out of the membership because of public sin. But is there anyone that would be refused if they repent of their sin and turn from it? I've never known one to be refused. If they bring and come and have a semblance of genuineness about it, and that's the way the Lord Jesus is, isn't he? And John tells us that as his children, we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord loves repentant sinners, doesn't he? He likes that. Broken and contriteness before him. That we're guilty. I'm guilty. I did it. and I was wrong in doing it. And I need your forgiveness, Lord. Indeed, we'll have mercy. The scripture says that those that come unto the Lord Jesus, he will in no wise cast out. And that coming to him is not just knowing that God is there and that Jesus is real and exists, but come to him on his terms. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he bids we as his children, when we get sideways with him and sin against him, that we'd repent and get right with him. The Lord loves to have mercy. He's plenteous of mercy, isn't he? You know, it brought me to think that there's two universal things necessary or needful for mankind, isn't there? There's two universal things, and really the second of these falls under the first, but I like to break it out. But submission. Just submitting to the Lord, submission and repentance. I mean, there's blessing and help and hope with submission and repentance. You know, what submission is that what God says is right, and it's right even for me in every respect. I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the one. I trust in him. He saved my soul. I submit to him. And so, see, that submission to what God says, what he said is in his word, it brings repentance, doesn't it? We take God's side against ourselves. I'm before the Lord as an open book. And what he says about me is true. And what he says about his son is true. And praise God, he in all that, he works, has sent his word and works with his spirit to save sinners. Verse 14, happy is the man that feareth alway. That's kind of interesting, that verse is after 13, isn't it? Yeah, happy, one that confesses the sin and forsaketh them will have mercy. And you know what? That'll sure make him happy, make him joyous. Happy is the man that feareth the Lord alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. I don't need to repent towards anybody. I want my own way. I like how it feels. I like doing it. Just like John chapter 3 says, men love darkness rather than light. Men love darkness rather than life. Happy is he is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief indeed. Verse 15, as a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the people. And we mentioned earlier about that in verse number 12, about righteous men rejoicing and there being great glory. And that other passage there in Proverbs that I mentioned about how it is when the righteous rule and when the wicked rule, and how there's liberty when the righteous rule and when there's a hardship and a burden when the wicked rule. You know, we have those that are leading in our country that care nothing about the moral and righteous precept of God. Right. And it's an oppression to us, isn't it? It's an oppression to our country. And it's that way in any nation. And so a wicked ruler in verse number 15, a roaring lion. They say in the wild that roaring lion, the roar of a lion will traumatize his prey, including human beings. The roar of a lion in the wild, to see that lion there and its great roar, and how I'm told by those that have experienced it, even shakes the ground, and it'll just cause fear to come in the one that the roaring lion is looking to capture, or the ranging bear, the bear that's looking and looking and looking and looking. So is a wicked ruler over the poor people. He's oppressive. Don't know what he'll do next. Don't know who he'll take next. Because why? There's no justice. There's no righteousness with him. Verse 16, the prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. Now, this isn't talking about him wanting to get understanding, but that word wanteth is talking about him lacking understanding. Doesn't know how. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. And I think of Solomon's son, Rehoboam, right? That's the way he was. He says, how was it he said that? He said about the taxation of Israel. He said, he mentioned his father, that his father was going to be like a little finger and he was going to hit him with a hand or his fist or something like that. It was very, very weighty, and he lacked understanding, didn't he? But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Wow, this is Solomon's words. Rehoboam would have done well to hear it, wouldn't he? Right? This is Solomon speaking to his children. Rehoboam, that took over Judah, the two southern tribes, he'd have done well. He said, he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. He wanted the stuff of the people. And the advisors of Solomon's advisors said, let off on them a little bit and they'll love you forever. And he said, no, I'm going to load them up and I'm going to even take more from them. And that was the way of the king, as the Lord had promised, and he didn't listen to that. Verse 17. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. And then, of course, this pit is talking about the cistern or the dungeon, synonyms, a fountain, a well, the hole, a pit hole. What's God say? It's been so since the end of the flood. Whosoever sheds a man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That's what God says. A murderer is to be put to death. No mercy. There needs to be right witnesses. That needs to be proven that it is so. There needs to be every effort to have very little doubt that that's the one that did it. And then they are to be, their life is to be taken because they took the life of another. Okay? Not talking about accidents, but talking about murder. Murder. And this is just another way of saving. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person. Okay, and maybe in that there would be some other things. The rapist should be put to death. The rapist should be put to death. How much sin would we be relieved of if the rapist would be put to death? The murderer put to death. It's what God says. And the thing is, the Lord gives a rule and a way that's best for society. Anyone that would look to prey upon the weak or the innocent or a prey upon women, it would be a deterrent. But instead, the rights of the oppressor have been elevated, and the care and the judgment that's due of the Lord, because he's established it, of the victim has been reduced. And we in our societies, the societies of this world, and governments and peoples and governments of this world, we're upside down, aren't we? Do you realize that we have, if my memory serves me right, do you realize that we have 1% of our population in prison in the United States? That would be around 3.5 million people in jail in our nation. And the thing is it's the citizenry, the victims, that pay for them to be there. May God help. May God help us with his good, right way. We need it, and may the Lord help us. If we feed upon what the Word of God says, we'll begin to think like the Lord. And we need to speak what is right, and speaking the truth in love, but it is the truth. It's what God says, and it is true, and the Lord will bless obedience to His Word. We're going to stop there for tonight. And for you that are here and not saved, again, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. You have a question. You have a doubt. You have a fear. You have something that you don't understand. I say, but you, by yourself, you go to the Lord with that. He's everywhere. The Lord is omnipresent. And you bring your burden to Him. You bring your care to Him. You bring your question to Him. And I believe He'll answer. I believe that He, those that will seek His face, those that the Lord is, the Scripture says in Hebrews, that the Lord is looking for those that will seek Him. Do you desire the Lord? Do you have a concern about your own soul? Is there a necessity, a need regarding your soul? Go to the Lord Jesus Christ with it. I pray that there is. If there's not, oh, that's a bad shape to be in, and may you be turned. Mm-hmm.